don't have the words to bring the comfort and the movement of God like a prayer can do. I don't have the natural words to say, but God's got a spiritual word that he can speak to each and every one of them. In the book of John, in the 7th chapter, is where we'll be reading from tonight. Book of John in the 7th chapter. And while you pray for us for just a few minutes tonight, I'll try not to be long in our preaching, but we want to just share with you from the Word of God what he has to say unto us today. Book of John, the 7th chapter, if you found it and like to go follow along with us, in verse 37, 38, and 39. Verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And stop reading there in verse 39. And tonight I'd like to bring to you a message that he has told us about here, that we can have unlimited amount of spirit in our life. Unlimited amount. It's not, God doesn't restrict us how much we can have, but it's up to us how much of God's spirit that we could have in our life, that we might be able to show others the reality of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. The Bible teaches us that at this time that he was speaking, it was on time of the feast. It was on the 8th day of the feast. And for 7 days that prior to this, Israel had been praying and offering sacrifices for other nations. But on this 8th day, it was a special day. It was a day that the priest would draw water from the pool of Siloam, and he would put it in that golden vessel, and he would take that water mixed with wine and pour it upon the sacrifice upon the altar. And when the people saw the priest pour that water mixed with wine upon the sacrifice, they sang with great joy. And Christ, standing up on that day, knowing that they saw that water mixed with wine being poured upon that sacrifice, he gave them a picture of things to come. That if any man would thirst, just let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We're not restricted to one time a year to go down to the river and let the priest go down and pull some water out of the pool of Siloam and bring it up and pour it over sacrifice. But that sacrifice was a picture of what Christ was going to go through. He would be offered up, and out of his body would flow that water. You remember when the soldier pierced his side, forthwith came that life-giving water. And from his brow to the bottom of his feet, his blood flowed. It was a picture that he was going to be the ultimate sacrifice on the altar. And aren't you glad when he was on the altar, God says, that is acceptable unto me. God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus' life on the cross of Calvary as an atonement. Not for all the other nations, but this time he made it for all mankind. And he told them that when I'm gone, you're going to receive the power like you've never seen before. As Tara said, and I believe Lloyd even made mention of it in Sunday school this morning as well. It'd be interesting to be able to listen to the women's Sunday school and the men's at the same time to see how correlated that they are. But church, we ought to be thankful today that we are not in the Old Testament times, because none of us could fulfill the law. None of us would be able to stand, you know, the Spirit of God come upon them. But they did not have it like we have it today. They only had it when the Lord appeared or the angel come by. They would have the Spirit that would follow them. But Christ said that if we would believe upon Him, out of our belly, out of our inner man, would flow rivers of living water. Sometimes I feel like it's a gully washer. Other times, I feel like it's a little drizzle. Just a small amount, maybe like a little creek. And I said creek, and I said it properly. I'm not talking about a creek, I'm talking about a creek. Because a creek is smaller than a creek. Right? Or that's in my terminology anyway. I might be totally off base, Brother Ray, I don't know. But sometimes it feels like it's small, and then other times it feels like they opened up the levers and it was just a mighty river flowing through my heart and my life. And Christ is telling us that if we would believe upon Him, He said, if you're thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. How many of you drank from the Lord in days past, right? I've had that living water. Here He was telling them that the Spirit of God, again, had not come to all men, but He's saying that it's about to happen. Aren't you glad when you got saved that you got the whole package? Glorified, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. That God puts in our hearts and our lives, that it's not a process of growing and becoming able to receive the Holy Ghost, because none of us probably would have it today. But when we got saved, God gave us the Holy Ghost. It now resides in us. But we can restrict the Holy Ghost from moving in our lives and in our hearts. And I tell you, I want more of the Spirit of God than anything this world has to offer. Because when we have God's Spirit, there's no mountain too high, no valley too low that we cannot walk through and be victorious, because we've got He, the Holy Spirit, walking with us every step of the way. Goes with our message this morning that no matter what we've been through, how many of us can look back and say it was the Lord that brought me through it. Amen. It was the Lord that gave me the victory in that scenario of my life. He said that if we would believe upon Him, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not dead water, not stagnant water, but this is living water. It's refreshing, is it not? I said many times over the years, you can go to church down and out, maybe with a heavy burden, maybe worried and concerned. But when the Spirit of God begins to move, it's like it just takes over our whole body, takes over everything in us, and helps us to get past that which we are so concentrated on at that time. God's Spirit can do great things in our life. How many of us today has the Spirit of God come by and we've done things that we thought we would never do? I look around the church and people that used to not say amen, say amen. People that used to not raise their hands, raise their hands. People that used to not want to really get emotional in the house of the Lord. I say it like this. How in the world can you sit in the midst of a church and feel the Holy Spirit and not have some emotions about it? Because even the Bible says that a sinner can't sit in the house of the Lord. That's hard, isn't it? But it's true. When the Holy Ghost is flowing from breast to breast, and we got to be careful, because one person can offend the Holy Ghost and it will leave our environment. I don't want to be that one, do you? I want that river to flow that brings to us the peace that we have need of. You know, some folks like to go out to the lakes and the rivers and just sit there and watch because it's so peaceful. I like to sit down by the river of life and let God's Spirit come by. They used to sing a song that talked about heavenly breezes. Has anybody else ever felt those breezes come by your heart and your soul? So down and out. So burdened. Maybe it was so much upon your mind and upon your heart. But then when you feel the breeze of the Holy Spirit come by, it's like it's just an affirmation upon your prayer request that everything is going to be all right. God is still in control. Is he not, church? He said here that if we would believe upon him, that we would have this river flowing within us. And this river is dependent upon us believing and trusting upon him. And I want to say it like this, that this river that's within us, we don't need it just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but we need it every day of the week, not just certain hours of the day, but every hour of the day. And sometimes if we'll be open before God and each other, there's some times that we feel like it's about to explode, and then other times that we feel like that you don't even know that it's there. But you see, it's up to us to have our hearts prepared. You know, God can be as holy on Monday through Friday and Saturday as he can on Sunday. We can feel the presence of God as much Monday through Saturday as we can on Sunday. It's up to us today. You know what we do? We try to lock it up and contain it. God's Spirit cannot be contained. God's Spirit moves amongst us. And every day, the Bible says, let me go back for just a minute to the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter. He says in the 6th verse, blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In order to have the Spirit of God, you've got to have a hunger and a thirst for it. Seek he, the Holy Spirit that will come in us. And how much of the Holy Spirit do we need? I need it all. You see, church folk want the preachers and they want the singers to be Spirit-filled. But I think we all ought want to be Spirit-filled. Because how can we discern what's being preached and what's being sung about if we don't have the Holy Spirit living and abiding within our hearts to let us know? You know, sometimes, and I said I hope not to be long-winded, but sometimes somebody else's river starts flowing, and folks, it starts mine to flowing. And it's like, thank you, Lord, that somebody obeyed God. Because I don't carry it with me in a package. I don't bring it in an envelope or in a box. But the Spirit of God lives in all of us. And every one of us, if we will just confess tonight, there are times that our spirit is low. There's times that it's in the middle. And then there's times that it's blowing out the top. Amen? You see, because we restrict the Spirit of God. We restrict it because we don't do what God says. He says that if we would just come to him, there's conditions that we have in order to receive the Spirit of God. Now, we all have a measure that's been saved. We've already confirmed that, right? You have to be saved to have the Spirit of God. That's why a lot of these folks, and I try to be kind and not too judgmental, a lot of these folks that say the Spirit of God told me to do this, if it don't match up with this word, it is not of God. It is of that other spirit in which Christ told us to try the spirits, for they are many. And people say, we know that the devil is working, and that he's working hard. And some folks will say, if you think he's working hard, wait till the Antichrist comes. Let me tell you what the scripture says. There are many Antichrists. They are amongst us. Even as today we are in this world, the Antichrists are amongst us. All that deny God are Antichrist. All that deny Jesus Christ are Antichrist. They're all against him. But I say this, let them have their day, because when the trump of God shall sound, they will see that he is alive and well, and they will forever be cast into that lake of fire. The Bible says that we have to be saved in order to have the Spirit of God. Some folks say, lay hands on me and let me receive ye the Spirit of God. That was in the early church that the apostles had that power. There's none of us that have the power to lay hands on anyone that they would receive the Spirit of God. But thank God there were some hands that laid on every one of us. How many of you remember the night you had an operation in the midst of the church house? I've had open heart surgery and no scar, because his mighty hand did all the work on the inside. The outside ought to show it, but thank God he did the work and didn't even leave a scar, and made me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And he put something in there called the Spirit to let me know that he is God and I am his child. How would you know you got saved if you didn't have the Spirit to bear witness of it? And if you've been saved, you have the Spirit, but many don't allow the Spirit to grow. They don't allow it to grow. They keep it little. I don't know how people could contain themselves when God moves upon the scene. He said, if you want to have the Spirit of God, in verse 37, he said, you have to thirst after it. You have to desire God's Spirit to move in your heart and in your life. It's not enough for you to enjoy somebody else's Spirit that God has given them. I like to see others excited by the Spirit of God, don't you? But that's not enough just for me to see somebody else. If I never felt the Spirit of God, I would begin to question my salvation. But there is a Spirit that comes in when we are born again, that stays there until we draw our last breath, and then that Spirit is removed from us and God takes it home to be with him. He said that we have to thirst after it. We have to crave for it. We have to have a passion for it. How many of us walk around the house and say, I'm full, but yet I want something? That's a crave, right? How many of us get up in the morning and say, Lord, I crave your Spirit today to help me, to guide me. Oftentimes, I pull into the parking lot at work, and when I get close to the parking lot, I'll say, Lord, guide my mind today. Help me to go in and perform my job and provide for my family. You say, Roger, you're an old man and you still pray like that? I believe I need him every day. When I come to church, I say, Lord, help our church to grow and prosper. And not just when I come to church, but you understand, when I see it, it becomes even more real to me. But we pray it often, help us, Lord, that we might grow and prosper, and we'll see many souls added unto the kingdom. And I should have had him stand up this morning. Some of you don't know this yet, unless somebody else told you. But Emerson joined our church Wednesday night. Ain't that something? And I talked to him today and after church, and he said, I got it all straightened out. You remember, I said Wednesday night, didn't I? Last Sunday night. He said, I got it all straightened out. He said, because he made it that sound like he was going to carry his letter here. But he said, your clerk needs to write a letter, Brother Jeff, to that church and request a letter. And I said, that's wonderful. We'll get Jeff to send for it. Amen? And I share that with you because God has blessed us so richly. And the more he blesses us, the more I thirst for God in the midst of our church. I'd like to see some of you just lose your wig. Amen? That's an old time saying, Lord, when they got happy, they were shouting all over the place. They didn't care whatever somebody else might say. They just went there to praise the Lord. And when the Spirit got so strong, they couldn't contain themselves anymore. They just reared back and let it go. And I say, thank God for it tonight. We have to crave for it. We have to, it's a passion that we ought to be going for. And he says, if you want to have the Spirit, we have to come unto him. You say, but we've already come unto him. We're saved. What that means is that we have to have complete surrender of our life into the hands of God. Lord, tell me where to put my foot down next. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. Lord, lay it upon my heart because I want to do what you want me to do. Not my will, but thine be done. Isn't that what Christ prayed? We surrender our whole life to do his will. And when we do that, our light shines in a lost and dying world. Because we've got, you know, you remember the story about the 12 virgins? They didn't have oil in their lamps. Only one had the oil. Whose light shined? Hers, because she was prepared. How many of us know what we're going to face tomorrow? And that we need our light to shine. Because I'll just be point blank with you tonight. If it wasn't for the light of God shining and living within us, many of us would do things that we ought not to do. But when we think about who lives in us, we have to hold our tongue. We have to walk away. We have to back off. Isn't there times you like to just give somebody a piece of your mind? You better say amen. But if you do in the wrong way, your light won't shine. And folks, let them walk on us. Let them talk about us. Let them beat us down. But let's not let them put out the light that Christ has put in our hearts and our soul, because that's more important than anything that we would say. Anything that we could say. He said that we would drink. That we would drink. By drinking, it would go in us. And that we would receive. How many of you know that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive a lot of gifts along with it? You receive a lot of gifts. Protection is one, Brother Eli. Oh, amen that. But when we receive the Holy Ghost, it's a gift that God has put within us that protects us. It watches over us. You know, Tiffany and the kids, I guess when Brandon and their had their kids, they had it also. And Rachel, you probably got one, but there's a little tool, I guess, that I don't know what it's called, that you put it in the kids' room and you put it in your room, and that way you have constant hearing of what's happening in that room, right? I don't know what it's called. A monitor. That sounds too simple. Baby monitor. I was thinking of some big term. But what that does, that keeps you in constant contact with what's going on with that child. I've got one tonight. It's called He, the Holy Spirit, is a monitor between me and God. God always knows what's going on with His children. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? You've got that Spirit dwelling in you. And the gifts that it brings. People say, does God give gifts every day of the year? God has a gift for us. I guess that's why, Brother Terry, I tell the kids and I tell Becky at Christmas time, I don't need any gifts. I don't need them. I've already got the best gift there is. And every day, He gives me a brand new gift. Some days, multiple gifts. And you say, what kind of gifts does He give you? He woke me up this morning. He woke me up. He gave me health and strength. He gave me the opportunity to come to the house of God and feel His presence. But let me close with this final thought. Only time you feel the Spirit of God is when you're in church, you need to check your water supply. Because I'm afraid instead of having a well, you've got a cistern. You know what a cistern is? A cistern has no supply other than what you put in it. A well springs up. It has a source that goes deep. And a good well never runs dry. Amen? I'm drinking from the well that has an endless supply. In fact, Can I just close with this final thought? I don't have to go to the well. The well has come to me. Oh, I saw something the other day on for sale, and I started to buy it. Why is it when we're young, we can't wait to get away from those things at home and down in the hills in the country? And then when we get old, we like to have some of the things that reminds us of what we went through. I saw an old hand pump that went on a cistern or a well, the old hand pump, water pump, and I thought, man, I ought to buy that. And then I thought, what are you going to do with it? I mean, it was cheap. It was very cheap because, you know, everybody had one, except for the rich folk. But how many of you remember having to go out there in the cold weather? And you never used all the water because every once in a while you had to prime the pump. Some of you don't know what I'm preaching about. You'd pour some water in it and pump and pump and pump. And if it didn't get enough a suction, you'd pour a little bit more water. You was trying to prime it. And after a while, here it would come. No matter how much you poured in, more came out. Oh, that'll preach on it. No matter how much we have of God, there's more. There's more for us. Tonight, while we stand, they sing a verse of a song. Lloyd was saying he did it like this. They did the bucket. They had a cistern. A well with a bucket. Yeah, yeah. Reminds me of Jacob's well. Just go down in there. Tonight, church, we've got a well within us that never runs dry. Anytime we're thirsty, we have that well. In fact, I just preach it in my heart tonight. We should never be thirsty because the supply is right there. Amen? It's right there. But what we ought not do is restrict God's Spirit moving in the midst of the church house. in the midst of our life. You say, Roger, I'd like to have more of the Spirit of God, but people call me holy roller, hard shell. They'll call me Pentecostal, Church of God, or holiness. You know, it doesn't matter what people say about me. It matters what God. I'd rather God look down and smile than I had to have the whole world pat me on the back. Let the world turn us away, but give me Jesus, because I need His Spirit in my heart and my soul. While they sing one verse tonight, where's your supply? Has God moved in your heart? And you know that you need to crave the Lord and His Holy Spirit in your life more than you've done in the past. And that's not being hard. Some have never realized the more you taste of the Lord, the more you want of the Lord. That's why David said, "Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. He is good. And He's good all the time. All the time." We need more of the Spirit of God in our lives, in our churches, and especially tonight in our country. But you know what? If we don't have it in our lives, and it shows up at the church house, it's never going to make it to the White House. Amen? And I said in the message about Antichrist, I think if you go up there and you look at the Senate, there's a bunch of them up there. And I'm not throwing rocks or stones. I'm preaching the truth. Anybody that wants to kill babies is an Antichrist. Amen? Anybody that wants to legalize and allow it to happen, homosexual marriages and teaching it in our schoolhouses, if that's not the Antichrist, I don't know what is. Amen. We are allowing the devil to exalt himself. He must think he's really doing something. But he's got a payday coming. But the problem is, many of our people will go down with him if they don't get right. That's why we need to be full of the Spirit of God. Be prayed up, be read up, be studied up, and be ready to go to work. Be ready to go to work for our Lord and Savior, because He's done so much for us along this journey. Let's remember each other as we depart from here. I have to say it one more time. My heart is heavy because of so many things people are going through. And I know I probably said that often here recently. But I think about all these things. Sister Ruby that's not with us tonight. I don't know if Glenn took another fall or if she's okay. And then Mary with all the things that's going on in her household. Sharon with Sister Ruby and the family, and Mark with his mother, you with your son, and Terry and Charlene with Terry's brother. Tomorrow they go out to bury him. You know, that's just a formality. He's already been buried. And I pray that God gave him a space of time to call upon Him as his Lord and Savior. I pray for these that are going through all these situations. And I tell you, this morning I asked how many people have ever lost their jobs. And many of you raised your hands. Some of you still here tonight, raise your hands if you've ever been cut. Right? So every one of us ought to be able to pray for Sister Barbara and ask God to help her find a place of employment. Otherwise, she'll be operating that pressure washer. Yeah, but let's pray for her, because you know what? I don't care how strong you are, it takes a toll on your mind. It takes a toll on you, and there's also anger that builds up. anger that builds up because of the greed of our corporations today. They cut 2,000 workers, and you wait till the end of their fiscal year, and the CEO probably get another $2 million bonus or something. That's our society. So I think I'll just join Brother Mark. Tell Becky, stay away from Macy's. Yeah, he's protesting. I think it's time that we start protesting as children of God as well for the things that they support and go along with. But that's a message for another day. Have you enjoyed being in the house, Lord, today? God is good, ain't he? How many of you saw the snow this afternoon? And then it turned to rain. It changed about as quick as it came. Amen. So you enjoy this week. Maybe the Lord could go fishing one day. Martha lets him off. I try to get this straight. Lloyd says Martha works him to death. Martha says Lloyd works her to death. I'm trying to figure out which one is it. Or is it a concerted effort? It's both. God bless you. Have a great week and enjoy the Holy Spirit of God.